more comfortable offering money than looking after his granddaughter for a few days.
Well, he spoke awkwardly. I guess I can manage.
You're a gem. Layla smiled, perhaps too brightly, but with warmth. Jamie would rather stay with her grandpa anyway. She loves spending time with you.
The feeling is mutual. I just don't know how I can take care of a 3-year-old for a week.
He could probably find babysitters while he worked, but what would he do with her when he was home? 3-year-old girls were a mystery to him, even after having been the father of one. That had been 30 years ago, during his days as a pilot, and he had been more comfortable in the cockpit of an F-16 than a nursery. A door upstairs creaked, and footsteps padded on the stairs. As Thomas looked up, a small girl with large blue eyes and gold curls came into view. She held a big stuffed kitten in her arms. Thomas smiled.
Hello, Jamie.
His granddaughter's angelic face brightened. She ran down the steps and trotted over to him, holding up her toy.
See my kitty, Grampy? Her name is Soupy.
Thomas felt his face doing that thing again, turning soft. He awkwardly patted her toy.
She's a fine kitty.
Jamie dimpled at him, and he felt as if he was turning into putty. She looked so much like Layla at that age. He sighed and picked her up, kitten and all. To Layla, he said,
I'll do my best.
The NIA was in Maryland. Even more shadowy than its precursors in the intelligence community, the agency was on almost equal footing with the CIA in the National Security Council. Thomas could have fit 2 of his previous offices in his present one and had room to spare. Currently, a screen installed on his desk was displaying a report from the Lynx Division, which analyzed mesh traffic for patterns that might warrant investigation. It seemed an arcane discipline to Thomas, half analysis and half intuition, but Lynx had a good record of success in tracking criminal activities through the mesh. Basically, the report advised the NIA to monitor the site for a hardware store. They suspected it sold industrial espionage as well as widgets, specifically that it employed agents from Karen's black market operations. Their purpose? To spy on an institute whose maintenance department ordered from the store. The Department of Defense had contracts with the Institute in the development of artificial intelligence, or AI, one of Karen's specialties. A buzz came from the comm on Thomas's desk. He tapped its receive panel.
Warrington here.
A man's voice came out of the comm.
General, this is Major Edwards. I'm on my way to the base. Would you like to grab a pizza for lunch? It might soften our guest's mood.
Very well, Major. I'll meet you out front.
Thomas knew what guest Edwards meant. Alpha, their captive android. For reasons that weren't clear, she would talk only to Thomas when she talked at all. Questioning an android was an exercise in frustration. She didn't react to known techniques. Yet to Thomas, she seemed human. He couldn't make himself authorize the mech techs to take her apart and analyze the filaments that constituted her brain. Eventually, they might have to resort to such measures, but for now, they were trying less drastic forms of interrogation. He left notes for his appointments with his second-in-command, Brigadier General Carl Jackson Matheson, or else just CJ. Thomas could speak with Senator Bartley tomorrow morning and reschedule today's staff meeting for tomorrow afternoon. His housekeeper, Laddie, had agreed to look after Jamie until he came home. He would miss his appointment at the barber, though. He supposed he should be glad he still had a full head of hair. Its gray color seemed to delight Jamie. She surprised him. He had expected to fumble for words around her. But this morning he had greatly enjoyed their breakfast conversation. Thomas shut down and locked his console and picked up his briefcase. Then he headed out for lunch. He wished they really were going for pizza. Perhaps they could pick one up on the way. A large pepperoni dripping with...